Just one verse for you. This is a Mosaic favorite. And these are the verses that you should be memorizing, I think, as a Christian. Acts 20, verse 35. Again, the context is Paul addressing his farewell address to the Ephesians, the Ephesian elders. And look at his testimony shortly before his death. Verse 35, Acts 20. The good Dr. Luke relates this. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more what? Blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we just want to thank you for this gorgeous day. What a gift it is from you. All your works proclaim your name and your praise, and we are here to do that this morning. And Lord, as we come to your word this morning, to this idea of generous giving, Lord, as Christians, we pray that you would speak to our hearts deeply in whatever way we need to hear, and that we would obey you today and in the coming days. As we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, and we pray this always and only in the name of Jesus Christ, saying, amen. So this morning we continue in our sermon series entitled The Pillars of Joy, because the reality is all of us could use a little or a whole lot more joy in our lives, probably. And again, the good news is that joyful living is not some sort of great mystery. Sometimes it feels that way, but it's really about understanding and cultivating key Christian virtues and then turning them into a bedrock in our lives. We all know something about all of these pillars in one way or another. We've talked about humility, having a humble perspective. We've talked about the importance of humor. Boy, I mean, you would think that more Christians would be happier and more humorous and joyful, as if that were sinful. I mean, I get chided by Christians and other pastors all the time for being irreverent. It's like, good, you know? Forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and today generosity, all of these pillars of joy really sort of overlap and influence one another. It's hard to kind of talk about one without mentioning the others, but this morning we come to the final pillar of joy, and we'll sort of end with a humorous and helpful review. But again, this morning we're talking about generosity as a pillar for joyful Christian living. According to the scriptures, the Bible, generosity should be a natural byproduct, right, of ourselves having received God through Jesus Christ, his generosity. Did a little digging this week, and I found this, that the Bible mentions the idea of generous giving over 1,600 times, which makes it one of the most significant themes in the Word of God itself. Jesus himself talks about the importance of generous giving nearly 200 times in the Gospels alone. So it must be important, but generosity is not merely an idea, right? The Bible makes clear that generosity is to be a lifestyle. We should be known by our generosity. Now, in the book of Acts, the good Dr. Luke curiously records a saying of Jesus that is not found directly in the Gospels. That's quite interesting. Nevertheless, it came from the lips of our Lord himself. And again, it was in the context of Paul's final farewell address. He knew his time with the Ephesian elders was over. He was heading towards the end of his life. And he reminds them just before his own death about his own example of generous giving in Acts 20:35. He lived this out. Where I'm from in Detroit, it's not cocky if you can back it up. How about that? Oh, that's cocky. Just watch. Paul could back it up. He said, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the what? The weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Yes. Is that your experience? That's rarely the way that those who live by the fallen rules of this world look at things. Kind of like the time when a local charity was trying to convince the wealthiest man in town to donate to a worthy community cause. We love to minister to a people in our community. I love that. And so they're trying to convince the wealthy Mr. Moneybags, and so they sent a worker to this man's mansion to talk to him, and he said this, "Sir, would you consider donating to this charity that helps so many people in need in our community?" And the wealthy man became angry, and he said this, he said, "Are you aware that my brother is a blind veteran with four children and a wife with a terminal illness, and they're about to be evicted in 3 days?" And the charity worker said, No, sir, I didn't know that. And the rich man continued, "Did you know that my mother is confined to a wheelchair and is living in a homeless shelter?" And the charity worker said, "No, sir, I didn't know that." And so the multimillionaire then concluded, "Exactly. So if I didn't help them, what makes you think I'm going to help you?" You know, since the beginning of Mosaic Church 5.5 years ago, one of our chief and core values has been radical generous giving. From its very foundation, we said that generous and benevolent giving would be part of our very DNA as a church. And we were so serious about it, we said that Mosaic will never carry more than 6 months' operating expenses in our checking account at any given time. Instead, we want to be a different kind of church that puts real dollars back into our community. And during that 5.5 year existence, that's exactly what we have done. Why? Because Jesus said it very simply. It is better to what? Give than to receive. More blessed. And here's a word that we may not have heard of in a very long time. How about that old-fashioned word, extravagance? How about that? Extravagance. Have you ever thought that for prudent and frugal believers, extravagance could be an inexcusable and unrestrained waste? Really, in God's economy, extravagance could be defined as lacking restraint in spending money or using resources, exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. That could easily be the case in regards to the world of fashion, rampant materialism, unrestrained consumption and lifestyles. But what about the spiritual life? When you consider God's gift to the world, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, would that qualify as anything less than extravagant? And in paying the debt for sin that no one could pay in and of themselves, wasn't Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, the absolute and ultimate generous gift of extravagance? But was that prudent? Did that show measured discretion and modesty? Was it excessive and even unnecessary? Of course it was necessary. When it comes to showing the love of God as the followers of Jesus Christ, let's lack all restraint. How about that? Because apart from the extravagant and generous giving, this world will never ever experience, let alone accept, the extravagant gift of new and eternal life in Jesus Christ. After all, Jesus said it himself, "It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive." Now, I have found it really interesting over the years that some of the biggest complaints regarding radical generous giving and extravagant love actually comes from Christians themselves, rarely from unbelievers, by the way. That's why more than half the time, I'd rather hang out with unbelievers. At least they're honest. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to clear out the church again. More blessed to give than receive. We have been criticized, I have been criticized by radical generous giving and extravagant love. That's part and parcel of what we do as Christians at Mosaic Church. Have you ever been chided or rebuked by well-meaning Christians who think that you and your church are being naive and foolish for being committed to radical love and generous giving? Don't worry about it. If you are, then you can practice radical forgiving. It's on the sign right there, right? I remember one of our Christmas blessing projects where Mosaic, in conjunction with the Merck, now known as Bowers Market, each year we give away about 400 complete ham dinners. Isn't that fun? Some of you have been part of this. It's a blessing. In the past, we've given at different times, and usually those times, up to $10,000 in gift cards. Wow. You know? And was it the last one or the one before, Greg? A local Christian leader subtly accused Greg and I for being part of the problem by enabling people in our community. Remember that one? This was really funny and incredibly ironic since he took several ham dinners to distribute to people himself. Fine. All right, go for it. They may call you and your actions imprudent, excessive, unreasonable, and even inappropriate. But again, you will rarely ever hear that from people, and particularly unbelievers whom you are trying to minister to. Again, what did Jesus say? It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. And if the scandalous and extravagant giving of God is not clear to you by now, just consider the creation itself. Boy, driving in today, wasn't it gorgeous? Amen. No smoke, praise God. It's raining. My grass is coming back to life. It was a desert for weeks, right? No matter what I tried to do. How can you look at all the beauty that lays around us here in the Bitterroot Valley and not see the lavish and extravagant generosity of our God? And guess what? It's all free. How about that? Gallons and gallons of sunshine, towering mountains, babbling brooks, wildflowers, majestic God's creatures, deer, elk, moose, bison. That's amazing. You know, most people don't get to experience that in our country. We know this, right? Oh, the tastes. The gardens are coming in, watermelon, blue cheese, Tabasco, chocolate. What unbelievable, generous extravagance of our God. I enjoy chocolate once in a while. Remember our Halloween outreach? I call it the 1 hour of insanity. We give out the best candy here, hands down, in the whole town, $500 out the door, 1 hour. Right? Oh, that's so, and people say it, you know, and we know it's good because all the little boys are all trying to jones for another packet. You know, they're changing costumes and coming back in and doing this. It's like, and we give it to them. We give it to them, right? That is so fun. It's coming up. Christian author John Eldridge said this: I am thunderstruck by the abundant extravagance strewn around and constantly rolling into our lives. This is dating himself, but it's as if someone took the family silver. Does anybody still have family silver? And is running down the beach like a madman, throwing it all around. This is what God does, tossing it about. How do you describe such generous giving? What kind of person acts like this? I'll tell you who. Our extravagant God, who didn't withhold his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, from you and I. Amen? What did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's why I'm excited to share with you just a few ways how Mosaic Church has been and can become generous givers. Some of you may know this, some may not. This morning, with this morning's offering, we decided that all cash gifts on the first Sunday of the month, Communion Potluck Sunday, are specifically designated for our community benevolence needs. Just this week, you got to help a single mom and her children in our community who got COVID and couldn't work for a few days. She lives check to check and was not sure how she could pay her rent. Guess what? You took care of it in Jesus' name. Isn't that cool? She's not a believer, but oh, she's interested now. What kind of radical generosity? What is up with these people? People don't act like that. We do in Jesus' name, right? Isn't that cool? Jesus said, memorize it, people. It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Last year, as a church, you gave about 700 pounds of food to Haven House. You know Haven House? We have people all over our community who are what they call now today food insecure. You can say, well, what about the parent? I don't think any child, no matter what their family situation is, which they don't control, deserves to go hungry. Amen? Can we lean into that? And many of you give, and there's a big black tub in back, and I find that people keep filling it up. And Wayne and Greg got to keep taking it to Haven House. Isn't that a good problem to have? There are children in our community who are eating because of your generosity. Now, Jody Asta, who's visiting family right now, continues to lead Mosaic's team with the monthly community meals, as well as Susan back there. Say hi, Susan, if you want to serve in this ministry. I didn't cue her for that. There are several churches in our community that give out, that make hot meal dinners for people in our community. And we get to be a part of that. If you'd like to be a part of that ministry, speak with Susan. I believe Jody's coming back this week as well. If you would like to give of your time and energy, we have an informal care team, care ministry that gives to people within Mosaic, but not just. If we hear about a need, you guys direct us. This is cool because you know what's going on in people's lives. Your ministry is vital because I'll tell you what, there are plenty of unbelievers out there. When they hear a pastor's coming, they run. They are out of there, right? But not you. So be the hands and feet of Jesus. If there's someone who needs a meal, or we mentioned Dwight and Bonnie and Brenda will be back in the next few days. They're going to need some help, people. Praise God, he's alive. And I told him the first time he had a stroke, Midwestern humor, it sounds harsh unless you understand it. I said, Dwight, you can't stroke out on me. And he said, why? He said, because I need you to preach. I'm looking forward to the days ahead that he'll be back in this pulpit for one reason or another. Amen? That's God's work, people. They're going to need your help, right? Carol often directs some of that, as well as Greg. If there's a need, let us know. Kind of unlike the time when a man knocked on a woman's door and said, ma'am, can you help this poor, tragic family down the street, lives on the end of the block? The father just lost his job. The mother is too ill to work. They're about to be turned out onto the streets unless someone pays their rent. Sound like the Bitterroot Valley? That's the worst story I've ever heard in my life, cried the woman. Oh, and who, may I ask, are you? And to which the man replied, well, I'm their landlord. Have you ever met any scumbag landlords? I used to have some slumlords in the big cities. Not all of them, but some. I'm grateful to be a part of a church that isn't simply a congregation. It is a spiritual family who generously and faithfully, extravagantly gives to the Lord and their community. And for those of you who are online right now, and there are quite a few actually, and who give to Mosaic Church, we want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And if you're viewing online, would you consider becoming part of this extravagant and generous giving of Mosaic Church? I normally don't talk a lot about money. I used to be averse to that. But it's too important, people. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what God is doing, right? We use physical things to promote what? Spiritual things. That's what we get to do. Those online, mail a check. I'm just going to go out there. P.O. Box 523. Is that up here? Hamilton, Montana, 59840. You can give online as well. We have some people in the congregation who give online at mosaicchurchmt.com. If you ever want to listen to the music while you're going about your week, it's all there. It's online. If you want to hear the sermon, it's there. Now, let me go on a limb right now and then move on. If you do not give generously to the Lord through Mosaic Church, why not? Why? God's blessed you, right? Isn't sort of the ideal 10%? Can you give 10% of your earnings to God? That's a lot of money. Well, he gave you 100%. You can't come up with 10. There's that. I'm done. Right? Right. Isn't generosity a natural outgrowth of the pillar of joy we talked about last week? Compassion? Don't you see how these things go together? Did you know that scientists have now proven that generous givers actually have better health and live longer? It's a medically proven fact. Why? It's simple. They focus on the needs of other people. You know what's really helpful when you're feeling down and depressed, which we all have? Start focusing on other people. Boy, it's a really helpful thing. And I'm not saying clinical depression is not a real thing. I've been there, done it. Lived it. Get it. But you know what? When you start focusing on other people and their needs, it's a game changer, right? Getting away from our own small, sometimes self-centered interests. We've all heard it, right? Money can't buy happiness, right? Money can't buy happiness. You're like, try me out, Jim. I'd like to try. Money can't buy happiness. That's wrong. Money can buy happiness if and only if you focus on the needs of others. You see how this works in the Christian life? Give it to others, and God will keep giving. I dare you to try God in this. Someday maybe we'll do a sermon series on Malachi. Malachi, I dare you to test God in the matter of tithes and offerings. I dare you, because he'll give it all back, and then you can give more. You cannot outgive God. Anybody experience this? I'm experiencing it. It's like, it works. And I'm not talking health and wealth. I hate that stuff. It's godless and sin. I give so that God gives me more. No, we give so that God can empower us more because we're more faithful. Amen? The seed of faith in Africa, they think it's money. I don't know how many times I preach this. I said the seed of faith is not money. The seed of faith is faith. Amen? Do you believe that God can take care of stuff? Do we really believe that? Jesus said it's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Now, here's my whole point this morning. If you look at God's great and generous gift to the world, the sending of his only son, Jesus Christ, you cannot look me in the eye and say that somehow that was a modest, discreet, restrained, or even frugal gift. I sound Victorian now, don't I? It's the absolute epitome of the most fantastic, unrestrained, radically extravagant giving in the history of humankind. Amen? In history itself. It was so open-handed that it boggles the imagination, and it compels us as his followers to accept this indescribable gift and then freely, entirely give our lives as a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is not yours if you're a Christian, right? You're a steward. Your stuff is not your stuff. Well, he's got more stuff than I. Well, maybe they're more faithful than you. You're saying rich people are more faithful? No, not particularly. I'm talking about you. What are you doing? Well, what about that guy? Who cares about that guy? Focus on your faithfulness and obedience. I'm excited to be a part of a church that embraces radical, generous giving and extravagant love as an unquestioned, essential part of its mission to this valley as well as around the world, right? I remember, I'm going to get there soon again now. I remember one year teaching in a bush village, 300 pastors and Christian workers who can't go to Bible school, but they came out for a whole day of teaching and they had nothing. And you know what? For $200-$300, you fed them all in one day, and they all took food back to their families that night. That's what we get to do, people. Isn't that cool? Right? God gave and continues to give extravagantly. So Mosaic Church and its people, its friendly allies in the community will continue to give extravagantly, because as they say, need knows no season, right? We're often aware of needs during the holidays, right? Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving, but need knows no season. We serve an amazing and utterly extravagant God, amen? So walk away with this one verse, memorize it, live it. Jesus said it's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, you equip us and enable us to be radically generous givers, whether that be money, whether that be our time, whether that just be a smile to someone who's struggling, Lord. We know that we cannot outgive you. So help us to move in faith, believing that this today and this week. May we become radical givers. And Lord, as we come to the communion table this morning, what a picture of your generosity, your extravagant love. Jesus, these elements represent your generosity, your extravagance, your deep, deep love for us. And so, Lord, as we partake of the elements this morning, remind us of that, and may we humbly recommission our hearts to you in faithful service. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the food we're going to enjoy at the potluck as well. We pray your blessing upon it, as well as the hands that made it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.